Good morning.
Today, February 20th, 2018. Allen.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Feitman. Blackburn.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Bovey.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Clausen.
Here.
Clem. Clem. Connolly.
Here.
Court.
Here.
Crank.
Here.
Dayton. Edwards. Eklund,
Air,
Flitner, Freeman, Furphy, Grew. May I excuse Grew? Okay. Grew, excused. Gray, Greer, Haley, Hallinan, Halverson, Henderson, Hunt, Jennings, Kinner, Kirkbride, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lone, Laux, McGuire, Madden, Miller, Nicholas, Northrup, Obermuller, Olson, Paxton, Pelkey, Piperinen, Ponell, Salazar, Schwartz, excused, Simpson, Summers, Steinmetz, Stith, Sweeney, Walters, excused, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker, Clem. We have 57 present, 3 excused.
Okay, members, we have Pastor Bob Thompson from First Presbyterian Church here in Cheyenne. So if you'd please rise, he'll lead us in today's prayer.
Good morning. From Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore we will not fear. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Glorious God of all worlds, we come before you at the beginning of a new day with a renewed sense of your calling as representatives. Representatives of the people of Wyoming, but more importantly, representatives of your kingdom. In 2 Corinthians, you have called us to be your ambassadors, appealing for grace and reconciliation in the world through our lives and through our work. Today, Lord, I lift up these women and men, representatives doing the work you have called them to through the citizens of this great state of Wyoming. Faithful and compassionate God, though these men and women come from communities all over the state, they are a family that cares for one another. And as they gather this morning, they do so with heavy hearts at the passing of 2 good friends. Today, Lord, we take time to remember 2 great servants of this state, Tom Lockhart and Robert McKim. And in their memory, we offer this minute of silence. God, in this time of grief, we lift up their families to you, and we ask that you wrap your comforting and loving arms around them. Help them to know the consolation of your love. God, I pray for the work of these representatives today. Give them the peace that only you can give. Give them focused energy, ears to hear, and hearts open to your calling. Guide them in their decisions. Give them patience and understanding as they debate and make decisions. Lord of all creation, as you cause the sun to rise, bringing light into darkness, send the light of your Spirit to dawn on our souls and dispel any darkness. Give us your grace that we may reflect your glory. Let your love show through our deeds, and may your peace shine in our words. I pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
there a doctor of the day here? No doctor, but we got a nurse of the day. Our nurse of the day is Jennifer Burns. Jennifer, right? Welcome to the house, Miss Burns. Thank you. Nurse Burns, where are you from? I don't have that on my script. Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much for being here. Okay. Well, the Wyoming State Board of Nursing. Okay, members, before we get into our regular order of business with standing committees, actually, I am going to do some standing committee reports. We have one more rule change that will be distributed, is what I was just told. And so we'll give that a little bit of time to hit your desks. So, reading clerk, we're at that order of business of reports from standing committees. Excuse me. I'm being told journal committee report. Journal committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your journal committee reports that the journal of February 19, 2018 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Guru and Representative Gray.
Okay, reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 17, Child Support Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Beitman, Jennings, Kirkbride, Olson, Pelkey, Ponell, Salazar, and Winters. No, Representative Stiff. Signed, Representative Kirkbride, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 32, School Finance, Major Maintenance Formula, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 33, School Finance, Capital Construction Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 39, Wildlife Conservation License Plates, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Wilson. No, Representative Walters. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 42, Justice Reform, Graduated Sanctions, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 53, State Educational Program, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 78, Omnibus Water Bill Construction, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Summers, Walters, Wilson. Noes, Representative Nicholas and Schwartz. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 130, State Fair Endowment, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 186, SIPA Guarantee, respectfully reports back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 152, Wind Energy Equipment Storage, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Representatives Furphy, Kinner, Madden, Overmuller, and Paxton. Noes, Representatives Connolly, Dayton, Hallinan, and Larson. Signed, Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred House Bill 172, Produced Water Treatment, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Representatives Connolly, Dayton, Hallinan, Kinner, Larson, Madden, Obermuller, and Paxton. No, Representative Furphy. Signed, Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 122, Special Educators, Workers' Compensation, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Brown, Flitner, Hunt, Kinner, Northrop, Paxton. Noes, Representatives Bovee, Freeman, Piperinen. Signed, Representative Kinner, Acting Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 156, State Songs, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Bovee, Brown, Flitner, Freeman, Hunt, Kinner, Paxton, Piperinen. No, Representative Northrop. Signed, Representative Bovee, Acting Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 153, Hathaway Expand Wyoming Scholarships, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Representatives Bovee, Brown, Flitner, Freeman, Hunt, Kinner, Northrop, Paxton, and Piperinen. Signed, Representative Brown, Acting Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 91, Right to Repair Farm Equipment, respectfully reports back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Clausen, Gray, Henderson, Hunt, Steinmetz. Noes, Representatives Blake, Haley, Larson, and Simpson. Signed, Representative Larson, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 20, Game and Fish Agreements with Federal Agencies, respectfully reports back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Representatives Allen, Clem, Flettner, Halverson, McGuire, and Steinmetz. Noes, Representatives Freeman, Garou, and Haley. Signed, Representative Allen, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 58, Game Animal Licenses, Limitations, respectfully reports back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Allen, Flitner, Freeman, Garou, Haley, Halverson, McGuire, and Steinmetz. No, Representative Clem. Signed, Representative Allen, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 59, Wild Bison Licenses, respectfully reports back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Representatives Allen, Clem, Flitner, Freeman, Garou, Haley, Halverson, and Steinmetz. No, Representative McGuire. Signed, Representative Allen, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 3, County Clerk Map Recording Fees Conforming Amendment, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Ayer, Furphy, Lindholm, Sweeney, and Zwanitzer. Noes, Representatives Edwards and Lone. Signed, Representative Zwanitzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 135, Housing Authorities, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Byrd, Ayer, Furphy, Lindholm, Sweeney, and Zwanitzer. Noes, Representatives Blackburn, Edwards, and Lone. Signed, Representative Zwanitzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 146, Equal Pay Penalties, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Ayer, Furphy, Lindholm, Sweeney, and Zwanitzer. Noes, Representatives Edwards and Lone. Signed, Representative Zwanitzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 103, Wyoming Legal Tender Act, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Representatives Clausen, Crank, Ayer, Gray, Greer, Henderson, Lindholm, and Laux. No, Representative Byrd. Signed, Representative Greer, Chairman.
Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask for a re-referral of House Bill 17, Child Support Amendments, to Committee Number 2.
That was House Bill Number 17.
Correct.
Has been re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Chairman Northrop.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to re-refer House Bill 122, Special Education, to Committee Number 2, Appropriations, and also like to re-refer House Bill 153, Hathaway Scholarships, to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
House Bills 22 and 153 have been re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to refer House Bill 58 to Committee Number 2, Appropriations, and also House Bill 59 to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
House Bill 58 and 59, without objection, have been re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Any other re-referrals? Members, we're at that order of business of consideration of rule changes and amending the rules of the House of Representatives. The first, you should have a list. The first House rule change, these are similar to amendments. And if you'll have all those out, we'll work through these. And so our first House rule, number 1, Mr. Majority Floor Leader Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move adoption of House Rule 1, and this is a very simple rule change on second and third reading. It goes into 8-1 speaking limit. This is our practice already. You get to speak twice. Everyone speaks the first time. Before you can speak a second time, you have to let other members speak, and then we do that already. In the rules, it already applies to the bill. All we're saying here is we're adding or amendment. So it's clear that it applies to the amendments also. And obviously, when we divide an amendment, it also applies to the divisions of that amendment. So I ask for your favorable vote on this.
Any further any discussion? Any member would like to discuss? Chairman Zwanitzer?
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. I guess I'm confused because I heard the testimony, but I think you're actually limiting it. When it's twice in the same question, that would cover divided amendments. When you're actually adding an amendment, I think you're limiting it to if you do divide an amendment. I guess I read it the opposite way, that if you divided the amendment, you would not be able to speak on each division more than one time. And I know we've been here, you know, for a decade now where we once had a 7-way division on an amendment. So I guess I'm just missing what the impetus was because I think it's was covered when you just say question, because question covers everything that the vote's on in parliamentary procedure.
Any other, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem? Okay, any other member would like to speak? Anyone else? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have, wrap it up?
Yeah, it applies to the bill or amendment. It's, you get to speak twice. You know, just the way we practice it right now, I can't remember when we didn't do it this way, but apparently we didn't have or amendment in the rules. We're adding it in the rules.
Okay. We've any other members? So we're going to close discussion on that. The motion to adopt House Rule 8-1, speaking limit, to add the word amendment, pursuant to House Rule 1-3, this motion requires an affirmative vote of two-thirds of the elected members. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
House Rule 1, Allen. Aye. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn. Aye. Blake. Aye. Bovee. Aye. Brown. Aye. Burkhart. Aye. Byrd. No. Clausen. Aye. Clem. Aye. Connolly. Aye. Court. Aye. Crank. Aye. Dayton. Aye. Edwards. No. Eklund. Aye. Ayer. Aye. Flitner. Aye. Freeman. Aye. Furphy. Aye. Giroux. Aye. Gray. No. Greer. Aye. Haley. Aye. Hallinan. Aye. Halverson. No. Henderson. Aye. Hunt. No. Jennings. No. Kinner. Aye. Kirkbride. Aye. Larson Lloyd. Aye. Larson Dan. Aye. Lindholm. Aye. Lone. No. Laux. Aye. McGuire. Aye. Madden. Aye. Miller. Aye. Nicholas. Aye. Northrup. Aye. Obermuller. Aye. Olson. Aye. Paxton. Aye. Pelkey. Aye. Piperinen. Aye. Ponnell. Aye. Salazar. No. Schwartz. Aye. Simpson. Aye. Summers. Aye. Steinmetz. Aye. Stith. Aye. Sweeney. Aye. Walters. Aye. Wilson. Aye. Winters. No. Zwanitzer. No. Mr. Speaker. Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Byrd. No. To aye. Further changes? Hunt. No. To aye. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 52 aye. 8 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of two-thirds of the elected members, that rule has been adopted. Next rule for our consideration is House Rule Number 2 in your list of amendments to rules, and that will represent Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move adoption of House Rule 2 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, it would probably help if you had your rules book out because we cross-reference some of these in this one. this will create a new Rule 11-7, Amendments to Mirror Budget Bills. In addition to the requirements for amendments to the mirror budget bills provided in joint rule, and I want to make that clear, so you need to go to the joint rules section of your rule book, 14-1M, no amendment shall be considered on second or third reading of a mirror budget bill unless the sponsor by no later than 30 minutes prior to the noticed convening time on the legislative day of the reading has approved the text of the amendment and authorized the amendment to be numbered and distributed to members of the House and released to the public. This rule shall not apply to amendments submitted pursuant to Joint Rule 14-1M3. Okay, so what this does is says that if you have a budget amendment, you have to have it into LSO for drafting by 5 o'clock the day before. 30 minutes prior to us convening, that bill has to be approved and numbered for introduction. And that's pretty much straightforward, so that we don't have amendments continually showing up all day in our inbox. Joint Rule 14-1M3 is the one that gives the Appropriations Chairman the ability to, introduce an amendment pretty much immediately, all during the process. That has been used very sparingly in the past. I think twice that I can remember. So that's the rule in a nutshell. Be glad to answer questions.
Any further discussion? Representative Jennings.
Mr. Speaker, just a point of clarification. So the appropriations will still have the right to present amendments throughout the day, but the members will not be able to do that if we agree to this rule?
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Not appropriations, the appropriations chairman. The other members of the committee cannot do that, only the appropriations chairman, and that's to address things like budget balancers, those last-minute things that come up. They still have to be voted on as and debated as we do all rules and that. This says that all of our amendments, one I might have, we have to have them in and numbered and everything 30 minutes prior to the start. So today that would have been 9 o'clock. We had originally set a 9 o'clock or 9:30 convening time, so we had to have them in by 9 o'clock. That's to ease some of the pressure on our LSO staff and give all of us time to review these amendments and decide what they do and how they do it. I've seen amendments, I think all of us have, that you sit there wondering, what does this do? So it just gives us some more order to what we do, gives us some more control. That's all.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I just want to understand this a little bit more, really our current process. So as it is now, for instance, second reading amendments need to be in today by 5 o'clock. So I get that amendment back, let's say, tomorrow. Is there a time limit currently right now into which we need to get those? Obviously, time is of the essence, so I would assume that, for instance, if I put in a second reading amendment or two, and I'm going to make sure that those things get signed off on in the morning so that we have those arranged. But is there any kind of current time limit right now?
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Currently, I'm trying to remember. I don't have my rules book in front of me. It would be in the 11.0 rules on amendments. I don't think there is, and that's why we're sitting here sometimes waiting. Whoever's in the chair will say, well, we're waiting on another amendment. Just stand at ease for a while it gets printed, and then we sit here. And then the amendment shows up. Then we have to figure out what it does, and then we go and discuss it. So this is to alleviate that issue for all of us, the last-minute amendments.
Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And just to follow up on this, we talked about this in the Rules Committee where it passed. There's the two sides of it. I mean, what do we get with this and what do we lose with it? What we get with it is the ability to be a bit more thoughtful about the amendments when they come out. I mean, we all do that. We kind of come running in the morning and see the pile of amendments and we organize them. And what this says is that they need to be done 30 minutes before we gavel in. So it allows kind of that thinking as we go on. What it takes away is, just as the good speaker pro tem said, the last-minute amendments that might be a reaction to what you see on your desk early in the morning, right? And so that kind of last-minute amendment we will no longer have. So on one hand, it's kind of transparency and thoughtfulness. On the other hand, it is the ability to react. I'll probably go on the idea of transparency and thoughtfulness, but I thought I would kind of explain what I thought was the trade-off between them.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to speak in favor of this. They would have all had to have been in the night before, but many times people don't actually sign them off and approve them. And I have to say, I've thought, I'm starting my sixth year now, that it happens so often that you get, you know, it's one thing if you get an amendment that says changes 2 to 3 or something like that. You can look immediately at the bill and say, okay, this is what this is. But for years now, I've sat there and, you know, these third reading amendments come out and sometimes they're 3 pages long and it hits your desk like 2 minutes before you have to vote. I think it's bad governance to try to vote on a 3-page amendment right there at the end. I mean, you can't, maybe some of you can read a 3-page amendment and decide what it does to the bill, a 12-page bill, in 2 minutes, but I can't. And I don't think we do good governance when we try to vote on that. So normally what happens, my first speaker said, if you don't understand a bill, vote no. And frankly, a 3-page amendment to a 12-page bill on third reading 2 minutes beforehand, I no longer know what the bill is going to say, so I vote no. So, but that's not really a good way to run it. So I think that this will be a good change, that we just need to have them in. You just have to sign them off. It doesn't stop you from submitting the amendments at the previous time allowed, but you have to sign it off in the morning so that we can all have a chance to make knowledgeable decisions.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Normally, I would be in support of this, except for the time compression in which we must consider a biennial budget. I'm going to urge a no vote on this.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. I just have a question on co-sponsors. So, you know, often in budget amendments, you're trying to build coalitions and you're waiting, you know, if you're really good and you really want a budget amendment, you should get a good assortment of legislators. As long as a prime sponsor is signed off on it, can you still hold it for 15 minutes while you're trying to get co-sponsors? Or would this limit it that you have to have everything ready to go? Because sometimes I'll sign it and then I go shop it around, and sometimes you have to get one person's name to get another person's name. Some of you know how this game goes. So just a question on how does that work?
Any other members would like to discuss? Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know how this would work for those who have committee meetings in the morning to be able to get back in time to be able to sign off on this and make sure it's the way you want it. To me, it would be a rush problem. I'd urge you vote no. I don't mind waiting and reading a little so that everybody gets their opportunity to express their opinion on what's before us. Thank you.
Any other members for the first time? Okay, Representative Plem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against, for several reasons. I mean, just what was mentioned a moment ago. But if you're trying to get, let's say it's a third reading amendment, and you get that thing in it by 5 o'clock, you come in that morning, you have a committee meeting, and you rush out of here a half an hour before, and then you notice that the amendment is wrong. You have to go into LSO and get it changed around and all that, or you're trying to build a coalition. But I guess the second thing goes, it strikes to the heart of our process. I mean, here we are, and we've gone, for most of the members here, we're looking at the budget bill in depth 2 days, really, or a day and a half, if you will, before we actually start submitting amendments. It's really not enough time to digest the budget, let alone to come up with some meaningful amendments. I mean, we go for some of the low-hanging fruit. But now we're expected, we're compressing the timeline even more. And it really doesn't lead for good legislation. So, you know, and if we did things a little bit differently as far as the budget goes, if we actually had a week to go over this, or maybe we didn't, the first week we actually went over the budget, and then the second week we had time to put in and build these amendments and things like that, I would say that, yeah, this is something that I would go for. But as it stands right now, this is, I don't think this is good for the body. Vote no.
Representative Jennings.
Mr. Speaker, I would kind of echo that. I think of the scenario where you get in here just in time, and then you see something that an amendment is going to do, and it's going to change things. The response thing that was brought up earlier, it looks to me like this takes the response to something that you figure out when you have the aha moment. You can't respond to it if we pass this.
Okay. Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To address that aha moment and the rebuttal that keeps coming up, We still have to have these submitted by 5 o'clock the night before. They still have to be in there. This is just the signing off. You can sign off on it and then withdraw it if you don't need that rebuttal. You don't need that aha moment. But we're just saying you have to get them in there. Let's have so that all of us as members can see what we're going to be reviewing that day instead of having them handed out to us 20 seconds before we start to discuss them. That's all this process does. It doesn't take away the opportunity to rebut it because you still have to have them in at 5 o'clock the night before. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the spirit why this rule was brought to you is simply just the workload that's going on back here in the bullpen. And I think, so tomorrow we'll, if we're on average, it'll be 90 to 110 amendments, right? That'll be, and we'll probably have 170 requested by 5 today. That's kind of normal. And so then it's, okay, 190 to 110 will actually be printed and be approved by us. So there's another 60. And so staff's going to run around. They're going to be chasing you down. Do you want this amendment? Oh, no, I don't want that amendment. And it's this whole workload piece. And, yeah, can we make it work? Okay, but I think if we could do something to kind of help clean the process up a little bit. There is the transparency piece. That goes both ways. Part of this strategy, you know, I think in bills where we sat there and we watched and all of a sudden amendments start coming on bills. And it's an intentional strategy to bring it to you late, basically. And I think there's some of that that goes on with budget amendments. People hold them to see what's going to happen. I've already got it in. I've got my 10 concepts in, right? You know, I might have the A-bomb concept, the hydrogen bomb, and then the cobalt bomb where I really blow this whole thing up. And I'm going to wait and see what happens. And I'm not going to let the public see the cobalt bomb. But I had it ready. And I think that's part of this, too. So I think we got to decide. That's not all a bad thing to have several strategies ready that you might not want to share with the rest of us. And we got to somehow balance that with the reality of a workforce that it's not unlimited and how we're going to get this done. And I think that's the spirit it's brought to you. And I think as folks who have watched this over the years thought, we should probably try to clean this up a little bit. Is 30 minutes before the right number? I don't know. Is right at the time we gavel in? I think your rules committee debated all that and talked about it. But I think that's the spirit with which this thing is brought to us. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Anyone else would like to speak on this? Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, all it does is says 30 minutes beforehand, we approve the bills for numbering so that we can see them and so that the public can see them. You know, when we bring bills in, you know, 10 bills in 30 minutes late in the day, the public doesn't know what we're doing. That's why we're here. We serve the public. We've had a lot of talk about transparency in this session, and this helps that transparency. Put it out there, let everybody review it and give it an adequate review and go with it. I can remember one session where people held to the last minute and you could watch them run to the bullpen approving them, and there were like 6 bills that did nothing more than delete the amendment before them. And in the end, nothing changed. So that's all this does. To me, it's a transparency bill. I ask for your aye vote.
Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
House Rule 2, Allen, aye, Barlow, aye, Biteman, aye, Blackburn, no, Blake, no, Bovee, aye, Brown, no, Burkhart, aye, Bird, aye, Clausen, No. Clem. No. Connolly. Aye. Court. Aye. Crank. Aye. Dayton. Aye. Edwards. No. Eklund. Aye. Ayer. Aye. Flitner. Aye. Freeman. No. Furphy. Aye. Guru. Aye. Gray. Aye. Greer. Aye. Haley. Aye. Hallinan. Aye. Halverson. No. Henderson. Aye. Hunt. Aye. Jennings. No. Kinner. Aye. Kirkbride. Aye. Larson Lloyd. Aye. Larson Dan. Aye. Lindholm. No. Lone. No. Laux. Aye. McGuire. Aye. Madden. Aye. Miller. Aye. Nicholas. No. Northrup. Aye. Obermuller. Aye. Olson. Aye. Paxton. Aye. Pelkey. Aye. Piperinen. No. Ponell. Aye. Salazar. No. Schwartz. Aye. Simpson. Aye. Summers. No. Steinmetz. No. Stith. Aye. Sweeney. No. Walters. Aye. Wilson. Aye. Winters. No. Zwanitzer. No. Mr. Speaker. Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 41 aye, 19 no.
Having received a two-thirds vote of the members elected, House Rule 2 has been adopted. This rule for our consideration is House Rule 3. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move adoption of House Rule 3. This is something we kind of already do on the second day. This goes into House Rule 13-5, creates a new subsection C, and that subsection C reads, notwithstanding subsection A of this rule, a consent list of joint interim committee bills may be considered on the opening day of the session, provided the list has been posted on the legislative website at least 24 hours prior to consideration. No bill shall be added to the consent list without the approval of the Speaker. We had a consent list on day two this year for introductions. It worked well. With this amendment, we can do that on day one, and we have to have that published on our website 24 hours before we consider it here on the floor. So, yes, this will speed up the process. Yes, we will get to hear more bills. So, we had some introductions die. This is going to speed that process up. So, again, I'll stand for any questions. Vote aye on this amendment.
Any members like to discuss? Question being called. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
House Rule 3. Allen. Aye. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn. Aye. Blake. Aye. Bovey. Aye. Brown. Aye. Burkhart. Aye. Bird. Aye. Clausen. Aye. Clem. Aye. Connolly. Aye. Court. Aye. Crank. Aye. Dayton. Aye. Edwards. Aye. Eklund. Aye. Ayer. Aye. Flitner. Aye. Freeman. Aye. Furphy. Aye. Guru. Aye. Gray. Aye. Greer. Aye. Haley. Aye. Hallinan. Aye. Halverson. Aye. Henderson. Aye. Hunt. Aye. Jennings. Aye. Kinner. Aye. Kirkbride. Aye. Larson Lloyd. Aye. Larson Dan. Aye. Lindholm. Aye. Lone. Aye. Laux. Aye. McGuire. Aye. Madden. Aye. Miller. Aye. Nicholas. Aye. Northrup. Aye. Obermuller. Aye. Olson. Aye. Paxton. Aye. Pelkey. Aye. Piperinen. Aye. Ponell. Aye. Salazar. Aye. Schwartz. Aye. Simpson. Aye. Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stith.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 60 aye.
Having received the affirmative vote of two-thirds of the elected members, House Rule 3 has been adopted. The next rule for our consideration is House Rule 4. Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move adoption of House Rule 4, amending House Rule 11-3. What this rule change does is a little bit of a compromise. Originally, when presented the first form of this bill to the Rules Committee, what it would have been was an offset where if someone proposes an increase in expenditure in the budget, that it would have to have an offsetting decrease. They do this in the federal level with pay-as-you-go rules, which often get waived anyway. But they do that at the federal level, and there's some states that have experimented with that. I ultimately decided to compromise a little bit. They call me the great compromiser. What this now would do is it would have a statement on any amendment that doesn't have an offsetting decrease. And it would say, quote, this amendment contains an increase in expenditure without an offsetting decrease. This amendment increases overall expenditure from the general fund and, depending on the solvency of the fund, may require an appropriation from another fund to pay for the new expenditure, unquote. So obviously you've got this process with a lot of amendments flowing through at the end. If you have a negative result, it could require an appropriation from another fund, which, according to this budget, would be the rainy day fund. I think this is about transparency. It's like the last vote, the discussion on that. This is about transparency. When someone from the public reads these amendments that don't have an offset, I think they should be able to see that this is an increase in expenditure and that that it might very well come out of the rainy day fund or another account. So it's about transparency and giving a complete picture of what's happening when we don't have an offsetting decrease. Thank you.
Any other members? Any discussion? Representative Burt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We are adjusting the rules that we operate on this body. The one before you right now is really out of bounds for my description of what we should be putting in our rules. If you want to attack the fiscal problems, if you want to get into that discussion, bring the bill. We have a process for that. It is totally transparent. This is not the place to put this in our rules. On and against.
Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think we have a mechanism that does this already. Budget balancers and what have you. Somehow the money has to come into the budget, and we have to show where it comes from. I'm not sure that this will change anything.
Chairman Gray. Chairman Greer. Chairman Greer.
That echoes my mood this morning, Mr. Speaker.
Sorry.
I like this amendment. I'm not crazy about the last sentence of it, but here's the reason why I like it, is because we have to vote the ayes and the noes on an increase or a decrease. And I think it's good to have that disclaimer, so we're taking the voice vote on the proposed amendment, that all of a sudden you're not surprised and change your vote when you have to go on the record. So I think it's a good thing. It'll help move the process along. I wish I would have been a Rules Committee. I'm not thrilled with the last sentence, but I like the concept.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. I guess my concern, if I'm not trying to be transparent, I'm just going to, from now on, ask all the money to come from the budget reserve account, which under this amendment wouldn't be covered, but the budget balancer will put it back in the end. So we have 200-some different funds. We have lots of special revenue accounts. A lot of times we're moving money from the general fund to a special revenue account, to federal funds with an offsetting appropriation and a different fund from the general fund. I think it's a great idea. I just think there's so many ways to get around it. You're going to start encouraging everybody to just start taking money from the budget reserve account. Those of us who've been around a while you know, it all gets balanced in the end without having to put this disclaimer on all of our amendments. So, I mean, I can do that, but I just don't think this is probably the right wording to go into our rules.
Representative Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I support this amendment. I hope you do as well. Thank you.
Any other members would like to? Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. And this goes on to the point from the chairman of the Minerals Committee brought up. You know, this is an aspect that just kind of brings in a little bit more transparency. And we heard from the chairman of CORP that, you know, perhaps people would just use it as an aspect to maybe pull from different funds. Well, maybe it would make them be a little more creative as far as where they're pulling from their funds. That's a good thing. So, yeah, let's try it out. If it doesn't work out, we can always jerk the reins on her next year.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So lots of good comments. I guess I would like to understand applicability. So we have a deadline tonight at 5 o'clock for second reading amendments. If we adopt this rule today, it would be applicable to all the amendments that everybody in this body has already put in that may have a impact. So, and that's fine. My question is to go to the chairman of corporations committee. All of a sudden, everything we do is not going to come out of general fund. Every fund that people are going to propose, because this only is applicable when, the way I read the amendment, when it's a general fund ask. So I just throw that out there that you're going to live it today. By tonight at 5 o'clock, if this rule passes, and I don't believe the applicability, you're going to get the effect. I respect the effort. I just don't think the effect is going to be what you want in this mode of transparency. I think we're going to actually obfuscate worse, potentially, because this will be just another thing we got to deal with. Thank you.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm in opposition to the proposed amendment. Basically, it's handcuffing you as a legislator to perform the function that you were elected to do, to come down here. If you want to pass a bill that directs money out of appropriations, out of general fund, you have the right to do it. And if you don't, then what are we here for? I mean, and how do you tailor, I mean, just think of the practicalities. How do you tailor the exact amount of whatever your bill you just did to the bill that you're having reductions? There are bills in the past that do this, and it's a creative way to get something passed. And it's, frankly, it should be a good policy of most of us to try to do this. But on the other hand, for us by rules to take away our ability to submit bills and certain provisions for our constituents, I think it handcuffs us and prevents us from performing our elected responsibilities.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment only addresses an increase in a general fund appropriation and an offsetting decrease. What if we have a decrease to a department appropriation? Do we have to provide an increase elsewhere? Or is this only general fund increases and offsetting decreases?
Okay, Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think that this amendment has an unintended consequence that the first part of it says that you have to, if you don't have an offsetting decrease, then you have to have a statement. So let's talk about that first part. So let's say that I have an increase in the Department of Health for suicide prevention, and I take the money from the Infrastructure Authority, okay? Both general fund dollars, and that's what I do. We divide that amendment. We pass the increase to the Department of Health, but we don't pass the decrease to the Infrastructure Authority. But I don't have that statement on here because my budget amendment actually had the offsetting decrease, which we now have divided it and we didn't pass. So now it doesn't have the comment on the bottom, which will be used in order to understand how much money we are increasing from the general fund. So it doesn't work in the case of having an amendment with two parts to it where one passes and one fails. So I don't see it working in the way that the good representative would like it to.
Anyone else? Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to remind the body that when we do an amendment, if we want an increase, it says increase whatever by whatever amount you want, $200,000, $2 million, or decrease. And it usually says right there in the bill. We've all written them, or in the amendment, I apologize. So it's already specified in there. So you can see it says it's an increase in expenditures or decrease. Increase the amount by a certain amount of money. So I think the amendment has its merits, but really doesn't do anything. So on and against the proposed rule.
Representative Larson Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I read this amendment last night, and I really liked it. I complimented the bringer of the amendment on the bill or on this rule. I think that it really does lend some things, but upon reviewing what the good chairman of labor brings out, the impact that it'd have on the budget amendments would be difficult. The other question, and I would bring this back to the creator of this amendment, what about on the education side of the budget process? Would this just work on the general fund side, or would it work on both sides? Which I think that there's some rational, some discussion worthy of that on both sides.
Any other members like that? Representative Lone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment.
Any other members? Any other members for their second time for the sponsor? Okay. Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So responding to a couple of these, just talk with the chairman of appropriations. I think he was talking about the previous amendment I brought. That one was different. And so I think we just chatted over here. This is a little bit different from what I brought to the Rules Committee. This is about transparency. You know, this is a rule that does something. It makes it clear when there's an increase without an offset that's what's happening. I mean, to be able to connect those two things, sometimes that's not necessarily, this just makes it clear. And I think that that's good. This is about transparency. Same thing as the last vote. So vote aye. Thanks.
Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
House Rule 4, Allen. Allen. No, Barlow. Aye, Biteman. Aye, Blackburn. Aye, Blake. No, Bovee. No, Brown. No, Burkhart. No, Byrd. No, Clausen. No, Clem. Aye, Connolly. No, Court. No, Crank. No, Dayton. No, Edwards. Aye, Eklund. No, Ayer. No, Flitner. No, Freeman. No, Furphy. No, Giroux. Giroux? Aye, Gray. Aye, Greer. Aye, Haley. No, Hallinan. Aye, Halverson. Aye, Henderson. No, Hunt. No, Jennings. Aye, Kinner. No, Kirkbride. No, Larson Lloyd. Aye, Larson Dan. Aye, Lindholm. Aye, Lone. Aye, Laux. Aye, McGuire. No, Madden. No, Miller. Aye, Nicholas. No, Northrup. No, Obermuller. No, Olson. Aye, Paxton. No, Pelkey. No, Piperinen. Aye, Ponell. Aye, Salazar. No, Schwartz. No, Simpson. No. Summers. No. Steinmetz. No. Stith. Aye. Sweeney. No. Walters. No. Wilson. Wilson? No. Winters. Aye. Zawanitzer. No. Mr. Speaker. No. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 22 aye, 38 no.
Having failed to receive two-thirds vote of those elected, House Rule 4 has not been adopted. We are now on House Rule 5. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move adoption of House Rule 5, and I'll give a quick explanation of this. We'll leave it open for some discussion if there's any questions. A couple days ago, you guys may have remembered, I got up and spoke pretty passionately on a bill and then came out about 5 minutes later and declared conflict, and that was kind of an awkward situation for a lot of us. So what I did is I spoke with the whip on this, and what we looked at is our rules are not very clear on when to declare conflict. So my attempt here is to state that if you are going to speak in opposition or in favor of something but you have a conflict, you must declare that conflict before you speak. Plain and simple. So if it's in the budget session, you have to come out and declare your conflict before you speak. If it's in a general session, you have to come out and declare your conflict before you speak, just to make sure that people understand where you're coming from. That's all this bill is trying to, or all this amendment is trying to do, is just clarify where we're at, and what we're trying to do is make sure that your conflict is in the forefront of everybody's mind before you speak for or against it. And with that, I'll stand for any questions.
Any discussion? Seeing none. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
House Rule 5. Allen. Aye. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. No. Blackburn. Aye. Blake. Aye. Bovey. Aye. Brown. Aye. Burkhart. Burkhart. Aye. Byrd. Aye. Clausen. Aye. Clem. Aye. Connolly. Aye. Court. Aye. Crank. Aye. Dayton. Aye. Edwards. No. Eklund. Aye. Ayer. Aye. Flitner. Aye. Freeman. Aye. Furphy. Aye. Garou. Aye. Gray. Aye. Greer. Greer. No. Haley. Aye. Hallinan. Aye. Halverson. Aye. Henderson. Aye. Hunt. Aye. Jennings. No. Kinner. Aye. Kirkbride. Aye. Larson Lloyd. Aye. Aye. Larson Dan. Aye. Lindholm. Aye. Lone. No. Laux. No. McGuire. No. Madden. Aye. Miller. No. Nicholas. No. Northrup. Aye. Obermuller. No. Olson. Aye. Paxton. Aye. Pelkey. Aye. Piperinen. Aye. Ponell. No. Salazar. Aye. Schwartz. Aye. Simpson. Aye. Summers. Aye. Steinmetz. No. Stith. Aye. Sweeney. Aye. Walters. No. Wilson. Aye. Winters. No. Zawanitzer. No. Mr. Speaker. Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Winters. No to aye. Burkhart. Aye to no. Crank. Aye to no. Sweeney. Aye to no. Henderson. Aye to no. Further changes? Mr. Speaker, aye to no. Further changes? Closing vote. Freeman, aye to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 40 aye, 20 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of two-thirds of the elected members, House Rule 5 has been adopted. Now we are on House Rule 6. Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill 6, or House Rule 6, and ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, what this is about is, as a body, we use the two-thirds vote, as we just have multiple times the last few votes. And what it refers to, I'll just read it to you, is it creates a House Rule 2-6 that says a motion to recede from non-concurrence under Joint Rule 2-4B shall require an affirmative vote of two-thirds of the elected members of the House to adopt. And what this is related to is that, you know, last session we had not one but multiple rescissions after we had voted as a body to not concur and I'm just asking for taking the opportunity to consider that as a body we change our rules. We make our rules by a two-thirds vote. So then as a body, when we vote one way and then we go to change that vote, I would suggest that it may make sense to consider having a two-thirds threshold. We cannot change other rules. There's other processes I suppose to do it, but basically we cannot change the rules of the other end of the building here, but we can make our rules, and so that we reflect what thresholds we as a body believe we should have, and that's it simply stated. So I'd ask for your consideration. If there aren't any questions, I'll call for the question.
Representative Clem.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. On and again, so what this simply does, members, it eliminates one of our tools in the House. If you want to hamstring yourself, if you want to box yourself into a corner, go ahead and vote for this rule. I think we need all options on the table. Vote no on this. Thank you.
Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I think this rule takes into consideration or tries to paint a picture that if we vote down a concurrence, that's it. Mr. Speaker and members, we all know that we can go back to joint conference, and we should work it out. If we get it wrong as a joint conference committee with the other body down the hall, then we've always got an opportunity to go back. And so I'd ask you to defeat this rule. I don't think it takes into consideration the opportunities that we've actually already got in place.
Chairman Mann.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I hesitate supporting this for the same kind of reason, that it causes the minority to be able to rule. That is, 40% of us could outrule the 60% that wish to recede. And I just don't think that's the way we do it in a democratic system.
Any further discussion? Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Several good points. But I would ask us to just recall what happened last session in terms of, you know, there's also rules in both bodies that require the presiding officer that says shall appoint members to a conference committee. And in that session, we were presented with the obstacle that the other side didn't attend the committee. And so we basically were presented with a situation where it's take it or leave it. And I'm just suggesting that we as a body should look at those situations very carefully. I believe that we have every opportunity up to that point, to non-concurrence or concurrence, to participate in the process so that everyone in the body is represented. More importantly, all of our constituents' voices have an opportunity to be represented and heard. So I just ask you to consider that. Thank you.
Chief Clerk, please call the roll on House Rule 6.
House Rule 6, Allen.
No.
No, Barlow.
No.
No, Biteman. No, Blackburn.
No,
no, Blake.
No,
no, Bovee.
No,
Brown.
No,
no, Burkhart.
No,
no, Byrd.
No,
Clausen.
No,
no, Clem.
No,
no, Connolly. No, Court.
No,
no, Crank. No, Dayton. No, Edwards. No, Eklund. No, Ayer. No, Flitner. No, Freeman. No, Furphy. No, Garou. No, Gray. No, Greer. No, Haley. No, Hallinan. Hallinan? No, Halverson. No, Henderson. I, Hunt. No, Jennings. I, Kinner. No, Kirkbride. No, Larson Lloyd. Larson Lloyd? No, Larson Dan. No, Lindholm. No, Lone. No, Laux. No, McGuire. No, Madden. No, Miller. No, Nicholas. I, Northrup. No, Obermuller. I, Olson. No, Paxton. No, Pelkey. No, Piperinen. No, Ponell. No, Salazar. No, Schwartz. No, Simpson. No, Summers. No, Steinmetz. No, Stiff. Stiff? No, Sweeney. No, Walters. No, Wilson. No, Winters. No, Zwanitzer. Aye, Mr. Speaker. No. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 5 aye, 55 no.
Having failed to receive two-thirds of the required vote, House Rule 6 has failed. The next rule for our consideration is House Rule 7. Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move adoption of House Rule 0007 and ask for your favorable consideration. As you can see, it amends the House Rule 13-3, and it's fairly simple, very straightforward. It moves the number of bills one could submit from 5 to 3 in any budget session. And so just to make it clear, in a 20-day period every 2 years, we're called to look at a budget in the billions of dollar range. And over the years, that budget session has begun to resemble a general session more and more. Originally, two-thirds vote on individual bills was a high standard set to ensure that bills brought to a budget session met the standard of an emergent crisis in your community that couldn't wait for a general session. Now, on a practical level, the elderly body down the hall, 30 people there have the opportunity to bring 90 individually sponsored bills and an unlimited number of committee-sponsored bills. We currently have twice as many members that may each bring 5 individually sponsored bills, which comes to 300 bills, and an unlimited number of committee bills. That's obviously impractical on its face value. Now, some are going to say that they need to bring 5 bills, and others obviously bring none, but that hasn't been an issue down the hall. And I'll also say that we've gotten away from the idea of emergent issues. There are times where we've looked at cookies. There are times where we've looked at a number of different things in a budget session, and it may be something special back in your community. But in reality, when we should be talking about our budget, I don't think that it rises to the level that it should for this session. Secondly, if you can't persuade one other person, one other representative to carry your bill, should you spend the time of the whole body when there's so little time? So with that, Mr. Speaker, I would stand for any questions.
Okay, members, we'll start with Representative Clem.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. On and in support of this rule change, and for all the reasons that the good bringer spoke about just a moment ago, during a budget session, we really should be focused on the budget. And I can only speak for myself that I'm frustrated and disappointed in our current budget process. The fact that we're going over the budget right now and we're expected over the course of a few days to bring our budget amendments, we're going to be done with the budget in a week as far as the House is concerned, and then asked to concur with amendments on the other side. And it gives us little time to actually focus on what's needed the most, to actually look at the budget. I think part of that is because we have a lot of bills that we're trying to get through. And just Case in point, look how many bills died on the vine on that introductory list. We didn't even get through all of them. So I think that we need to whittle this down. I think we need to be a little more responsible in the House as far as, you know, and that might, you know, I had a whole list of bills that I wanted to bring. I had to be pretty picky and choosy. And it's going to require us to be even more thoughtful about what kind of bills we want to bring during the budget session. But I think this lends itself to actually doing things differently in the future when it comes to our budget process, to actually spend more time looking at our budget and digesting it and coming up with thoughtful amendments. So I would encourage you to vote yes on this rule.
Any other members? Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I kind of want to look at this situation right now because I think a picture is being painted that we're, look at all these bills we got. Members, we've got 194 pieces of legislation out there. If you take away the committee-sponsored legislation, we're averaging two a piece. Averaging two a piece. So are we hitting the limit? Are some of us? Yeah, sure. But most of us are not. So when you look at this big picture, no, we're not overinflating. No, we're not going too far. And secondly, during a budget session, we've got this whole mechanism built in place that gets rid of like half of those called the introductory vote. That works pretty well. I don't know about you guys, but I died on two of those. So when we're looking at this, let's not pretend that there is a problem because there isn't a problem. If you want the budget earlier, then we need to work on getting the budget earlier and fix that issue. Not try and conflate it on something else or pretend that it is something else or that we're going in some kind of weird direction. If you want the budget earlier, get it earlier. As far as redirecting yourself on bills, don't run as many bills. Self-control.
Well, thank you for that. Okay. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do want to echo some of those comments because the true check you have on the system is the two-thirds vote required in the budget session. I think lowering the number of bills doesn't do us any good. If you're approaching a legislative session, whether you're trying to, let's just say, expand government or the opposite, reduce government, those are accomplished by bills. So the very existence of a bill doesn't mean that we expand anything or we grow anything. It very well could mean the opposite, that we shrink things. So I think you ought to really consider that as well. And then, you know, lastly, I think the real issue that we're trying to approach is when we work on the budget. If we don't work on the budget until we're 2 weeks into a session, do you think it's right and it's fair to go back to your constituents and tell them that you're hamstringed by rules so you can't do any work for 2 weeks and so you have to just kind of sit around and twiddle your thumbs? That's not good use of taxpayers' money. I don't think we address the real problem. The real problem is when we approach the budget and at what point we get to discuss it, not how many bills we bring. Let the votes decide what bills live and die, and let that introductory vote be your major check. Vote no.
Representative Piperina.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment. This is my third budget session, and I find that the regular House bills that we're doing by and large are a distraction from the work of the budget that we should be working on and discussing, to tap this collective wisdom and not rely on such a small group of people to tell us what we need to do.
Representative Flitner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think, my good honorable representatives, that this is going to be the best piece of legislation that we pass today. I think that the thing that we must bear in mind is public perception. And I don't know about you, but most people that I'm listening to are saying, what are you doing in a budget session dealing with that piece of legislation? And I know that as a layperson myself, that was one of my thoughts. I think we need to be better time managers. We need to be better about the resources that we've been entrusted with. And I think it just makes for being better and smart legislators and better and frugal with our time. So I vote aye, and I would urge you to do the same. Thank you.
Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On Monday, we adjourned around 2:30. On Friday, we adjourned around 3:30. If this rule change said that we'd get the budget at the start of the week, then I think it might be a good change in our process. But what's going to happen is we're going to get the budget at the same time. We're going to, if this passes, we're going to adjourn at 3 p.m. every single day of the first week. We're going to get the budget at the same time. And, you know, we got the budget when the introductory votes were over on Friday. That's not going to change. Okay, so argument is really misguided. The problem is we're not getting the budget soon enough. And that would have actually been a real good rule change. I think a week before, that's appropriate. That's along the lines of a previous rule we passed that we're going to have a half an hour. So all that's going to happen if this passes, we're going to be adjourning at 3 p.m. all week the first week. So let's get the budget earlier. And then I think this conversation is very applicable. Thank you.
Any other members? Seeing none. Representative Conley.
Speaker, and let me just pile on and against this. We have 9 other committees other than appropriations that need to and do their work. I want to hear about the work that they do during the interim and not wait until the next general session when a third of this body turns over. So unless we want to completely change how we go about doing general policy and the budget, I think that we're fine with 5 bills as individuals and with our committees.
Representative Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. I know I'm talking a lot today. I just asked the body to remember that I know a third of you, this is your first budget session. And trust me, they change every 2 years, every 4 years, every 6 years. A decade ago, we had a lot of money and we had a lot of bills, and I think it's a different perspective when you're here a long time that sometimes 3 just isn't enough. I know, especially talking to other chairmen, I get asked a week before session, hey, can you carry this bill? This is a legitimate problem we have to solve. And in other years, when I've hit my max at 5, I've had to go ask another committee member, hey, can you do this? I think many of you this year asked by one of our colleagues down the hall who hit their 3, hey, can you carry this on the House side? But I'll do all the work for you. And so you're already getting those kind of perverse incentives on making us do some of the Senate's work on these rules. I think the other argument I keep hearing, you know, the Constitution, we changed it in the 70s, 45 years ago, right? The world has changed in 45 years. You look at every other state legislature in the country, the laws, I mean, just more and more litigation and liability and updates for technological advancements. We have the shortest session in the country of any legislature, and trying to endure everything that we have to just, 80% of what we do here is just upgrades to our current law to keep things going. That's why you're seeing in general sessions a lot of supplemental budget requests. And so it is kind of morphing together over time. You know, it's only been 6 years since we've had this rule in effect that limited us to 5. I remember in the good former chairman of judiciary from county where the big mountains are, and I fought this heavily because we would bring 9 or 10 bills every session, because that's what, if you're a little more active and you're out talking to everybody in your district, there's some interesting ideas. Yeah, a lot fail, but the longer you're here, you realize a lot of times you're not going to get that issue passed. But if you bring it, another committee chairman is going to go, oh, that was really interesting. We can make that an interim study. The minority leader, my first year here in 2005, said, I've never gotten a bill passed with my name on it. But he brought bills every year, and they would become an interim study. They'd become a committee bill the next year. And he was like, had 14 bills that he started, and that was the way he did it. And so there's lots of other processes going on with these kind of games when we limit ourselves. And, you know, my constituency, there's a lot of issues, and they might want me to bring more than 3 bills, even in a budget session. And if I can get the majority floor leader and leadership to say, hey, these are the most important issues, I'll fight for that.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I just don't think I want to do introductions kind of like what the other side does. We're not known to be followers here. We're leaders here. I want to give especially the new folks to the legislature an opportunity to do the changes that they want. So I want to kind of leave it where it is. I remember those days of the Wild West also, where we could bring 20 bills if we wanted on a budget session, if we so chose and had the gumption to do it. So, you know, again, we're kind of the cowboys here. Just leave it like it is and just move on.
Chairman Eklund. Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thought I was in favor of it until every speaker came up here. This is a difficult, a much more difficult subject than I thought. One thing I would throw in that hasn't been mentioned is if we limit ourselves to three votes, we put a little less pressure on the LSO to come out with a good product from back there, and I think we should probably consider that at some point. But, boy, I thought this was an easy vote. It doesn't look like it is.
Representative McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just for the benefit of those who may be listening and not present, on Monday, my first committee started at 7 o'clock in the morning, and the last one adjourned at 10:15 at night. Not saying that to be whiny, but just pointing out that there is more that happens in this body just on the floor. The committees are a vital part of the work that we do, as are the committees outside of this body. There's a lot that gets done during this budget session, and to say that we're not working or to infer that we're leaving early or anything like that is not fair to those members, especially on joint appropriations. My goodness, those people have put in major hours. So thank you.
Thank you. I think our health labor went till 10:15 last night. Appreciate your efforts. We'll keep working for the people here. All right, Representative Wilson, and we're going to keep working this rule. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't want to repeat what the previous speaker said because that's exactly what I was going to say. But just so that people don't think it's only him, people who have committees are typically working 12 to 14 hours. It's not just the floor. It's about the committee. So I just want to repeat that.
Okay. Are there any other members who'd like to speak their first time? Okay, and we'll move now the second time. Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just would like to talk a little more, a couple more process things that if this is a good discussion, I think, if it were brought in a way that wasn't just isolated like this. Right now we have these days set aside. The second reading amendments are already set aside. The days for the explanation are already set aside. The days for the third reading amendments are already set aside. So that's not changing with this rule. So the amendment process to the budget, the days when that's going to be considered are not going to change. So all you're doing here is freeing up more time in the first week. And yes, there are committees that play out in the evenings, but the reality is on the floor, there was a lot of time when we weren't here. We started at 10 a.m. Two of the days we were out by 3:30. And so if there was a discussion about possibly having a third reading of amendments and having the explanation not as a reading, or having the amendment process go more than one or two days, or having a period of reflection between the readings, that could be considered with this. But all you're going to get here, this isolated change, all you're going to get is adjourning earlier during the first week, and also maybe a little bit during the third week when the budget amendments have already played out. So I'd really urge a no vote. I think this is a real discussion about how to improve the budget session, but this isolated change isn't the answer. It has to be considered about how we consider the budget, when the budget's released, the number of days we have for it, the number of days of respite we have between readings. This isolated change doesn't get the job done. So thank you.
Okay, any other members second time? I think we're moving to the sponsor, Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Originally, when this body met to discuss the budget, it was given the leeway to also bring out emergent issues. That makes sense. We need to have the ability to flex on issues that may arise in your community. And if the introductory vote did its job, we wouldn't have the issues we have today. If the introductory vote was utilized to bring things back to what truly constitute emergent issues, I think that this would, I wouldn't even need to bring this proposed rule. I don't believe that we will hamstring ourselves even if, for instance, even if we only had two bills. What I've proposed is three, but even two bills would still be 120 individually sponsored bills.
and some have spoken of self-control over this last little interlude, and I would say that those that control themselves wouldn't be affected by this rule. I think that we would have the opportunity to get all the discussion done that needs to get done with 180 bills. Now, a raft of introductory bills didn't fail. Someone made that statement. We didn't. We pushed a lot through. And I would say that also in answer to another statement that we are cowboys and we can do whatever. That's true. I don't mind being a cowboy. The question is, are we gunslingers or cowboys? Are we coming down here slinging bills all around, or are we doing our work? And so with that, Mr. Speaker, I'll step down, but I ask for your favorable consideration of rule change number 7.
Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
House Rule 7. Allen.
Aye.
Allen, no. Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
No.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Bovee.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
No.
Clausen.
No.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
No.
Furphy.
No.
Grew.
No.
Gray.
No.
Greer. Aye. Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
No.
Lone.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
No.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Pawnell.
Aye.
Salazar.
No.
Schwartz.
No.
Simpson.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stith.
Aye.
Sweeney.
No.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Henderson. Aye. To no. Further changes. Closing vote. The vote is closed. 27 aye, 33 no.
Having failed to receive two-thirds of the members elected, House Bill 7 has failed. We have one more rule that has been distributed, members, and that is House Rule 8. I'm going to pause for a minute so members can make sure and find it. It's been distributed. It should be in your inbox. It says House Rule 8 at the top. Okay, members, House Rule 8, Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move adoption of House Rule 8. Ladies and gentlemen, we had a House Rule 4 earlier, and there was a lot of discussion about part of that amendment. But what I heard, at least in the discussion, was folks were fairly receptive to the fact that we have some notice, and the public has some notice, that there was going to be a change. It's that the change was broader than this. So what we did with the previous amendment is we struck the second sentence. We just struck the second sentence, which actually had the term general fund in it. So now this would be applicable across the board, across all of our budgets, and put any budget amendment from wherever the money came. And it only has to do with any increase in expenditure. Now, there's a terminology issue here that was pointed out to us by our budget staff that we're going to actually make an effort to amend on the floor. So the good chairman of Minerals is going to approach that. But anyway, that's the amendment. It's the same amendment you saw as four, but we've stricken the second sentence, which takes out that specificity of the general fund. So this would just say a notice goes on every bill if there's an increase in expenditure. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Greer.
Yep. Mr. Speaker, I would move to amend this bill for more of a technical correction. And to get to it, what we have here is in the quote on the bottom three lines, it says, this amendment contains an increase in expenditure. Actually, our budget is appropriating funds, and so that should be an increase in appropriation without an offsetting decrease. And so I move that as a technical amendment, and if there is no discussion, we'll call for the question to continue the debate on the rule change.
That's a technical amendment. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that's been adopted. Please continue.
So, Mr. Speaker, to continue, I would rise in support of this rule change as it's presented to us. And again, as I spoke earlier, having been through several budgets, and some of these amendments get difficult to follow, and you're not quite sure, or maybe, as we've heard, we're pushing, and we don't know exactly, is this an increase in expenditures, is it not? And you'll vote for the amendment, and then all of a sudden, you get called for the ayes and the noes on that. And I just believe it'd be better up front if you look at that amendment and say this has an increase in expenditure. Some people have a belief that I'm not going to vote for any expenditure increases, period. This would help, I think, simplify the process, be a little bit clearer. It would encourage an aye vote for this. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Representative Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of this rule change as well. This works. It is transparency. I ask for your support. Thank you.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. My overall question is, who are we trying to get at? The members of this body that we're not sure what an amendment does, or we're marketing this to the public so they know, or we're trying to instill some discipline within us? Just as good government to always, if you ever increase a budget, I guess I was here in the years where, you know, we actually were spending money in the state on projects and infrastructure and things were going well and we were building Wyoming. And now it seems the last 2 years, it's just this mindset that, oh my gosh, if we spend money on anything, it's just a different world than I guess it was a decade ago. But this just seems to be one of those things that pushes us to make sure we never spend money. And I just don't quite understand why we have to give this to ourselves because we don't know what the budget does because we're new.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In answer to the previous question, it answers all of those. I think everybody benefits from transparency. Transparency is a tremendous disinfectant. It does one of those things where the daylight burns off a lot of stuff that really shouldn't be there. And I think that any time we have the opportunity to bring that forward, we should run for it. So thank you very much for bringing this, and I think it's a very good amendment.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just bring a similar question that was asked the first time around for the amendment that was very similar to this. What about applicability? We all probably have at least one or two amendments that are already sitting back there. Or are these going to have to be rewritten amendments? Is this going to have to be something that we have to renegotiate and reissue as we come forward? If I could get an answer for that, I'd appreciate it.
Further discussion? Anyone else would like to speak first or second time? Seeing none. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
House Rule 8. Allen. Aye. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn. Aye. Blake.
No.
No. Bovee.
No.
No. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Clausen.
No.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Court.
No.
Crank.
No.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
No.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman. No, Furphy.
Aye,
Carew.
Aye,
Gray.
Aye,
Greer.
Aye,
Haley.
Aye,
Hallinan.
Aye,
Halverson.
Aye,
Henderson.
No,
Hunt.
Aye,
Jennings.
Aye,
Kenner.
No,
Kirkbride.
Aye,
Larson Lloyd.
Aye,
Larson Dan.
Aye,
Lindholm.
Aye,
Lone.
Aye,
Laux.
Aye,
McGuire.
No,
Madden.
No,
Miller.
Aye,
Nicholas.
Aye,
Northrup.
Aye,
Obermuller.
No,
Olson.
Aye,
Paxton.
No,
Pelkey.
Aye,
Piperinen.
Aye,
Pawnell.
Aye,
Salazar.
Aye,
Schwartz.
No,
Simpson.
Aye,
Summers.
Aye,
Steinmetz.
Aye,
Stith.
Aye,
Sweeney. No,
Walters.
No,
Wilson.
Aye, Winters.
Aye,
Zawanitzer.
No,
Mr. Speaker.
No.
No. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 39 aye, 21 no.
Having failed to receive a two-thirds majority, House Rule 8 has failed. Members, these rules now that we've adopted will go into effect immediately, and you will have probably within the next 24 hours colored inserts for your rule book. Sometimes they're in the form of a sticky note, or you can just tape that new paragraph. We won't print you new rule books, not until the 65th legislature, but you'll just go ahead and insert those on your own. And they are in effect now immediately. And so our next order of business is our third reading, bills on consent list. Mr. Majority, floor leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list, third reading consent list, consisting of the following bills: House Bill 76, House Bill 88, and House Bill 126.
Any member like any of these bills, House Bill 76, House Bill 88, and House Bill 126, removed from the list? Seeing none, the Chief Clerk, please call the roll on... Oh, we got to read them a third time, folks. That's how this works. Reading Clerk, please read the bills to the enacting clause.
House Bill 76, sponsored by Appropriations, Supplemental Security Income Program, an act relating to the State Supplemental Security Income Program, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. House Bill 88, sponsored by Appropriations, State Construction Department Amendments, an act relating to the State Construction Department, and be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. House Bill 126, sponsored by Representative Olson, Limited Liability Companies Series, an act relating to limited liability companies, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Roll call on the consent. Allen, Barlow, Biteman, Blackburn, Blake, Bovee, Brown, Burkhart, Byrd, Clausen, Clem, Connolly, Court, Crank, Dayton, Edwards, Eklund, Ayer, Flitner, Freeman, Furphy, Carew, Gray, Greer, Haley, Hallinan, Halverson, Henderson, Hunt, Jennings, Kenner, Kirkbride, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lone, Laux, McGuire, Madden, Miller. Nicholas, Northrup, Obermuller, Olson, Paxton, Pelkey, Piperinen, Pawnell, Salazar, Schwartz, Simpson, Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stith.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
As per House Bill 76, are there any changes? Jennings, aye. To no. Lone, aye. To no. Edwards, aye. To no. Winters, aye. To no. Clem, aye. To no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 55 aye, 5 no. As per House Bill 88, are there any changes? Zwanitzer, aye. To no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 no. As per House Bill 126, are there any changes? Summers, aye. To no. Walters, aye. To no. Crank, aye. To no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 57 aye, 3 no.
Before we move to bills on the regular list, third reading, before we do that, I want to announce that having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the House, House Bills 76, 88, and 126 have passed the House. Before we move to the regular list, Representative Winters has a privilege of the floor.
Well, friends, we have the opportunity to stretch. After all that vigorous discussion, I'd like for you to stand and join me and welcome a group of local direct service domestic violence and sexual assault program people from across Wyoming, and they're in Cheyenne for the WCDVSA meeting this week. Also, I'd like to point out Ms. Daisy Torres from Thermopolis, my hometown, the Hope Agency, but could we welcome them to the House?
Well, welcome to the House. We appreciate you joining us today and appreciate all your good work you do across Wyoming. So thank you very much. Okay, our next order of business, members, are bills on third reading regular list. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 8. The reading clerk, please read the bill.
House Bill 8, sponsored by Joint Judiciary, Stalking Revisions. An act relating to stalking crimes, offenses, and protective orders, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have two amendments. The first amendment is third reading amendment number one, and it is Representative Olson.
Mr. Speaker, is it permissible to move those amendments in a different order? To move the second amendment first?
Without absent objection, that'd be fine. You're the sponsor of both amendments. Representative Olson, please move.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll move House Amendment 2 to House Bill 8 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an amendment that regards something that I spoke to you about on the second reading. So I want you to just to turn to the second page of your bill. And what I want you to feel comfortable with is knowing that what this amendment does is really nothing substantive. It's more of a structural change. What I tried to impress upon you was the reality that the prongs necessary in order to secure a stalking order, whether that be emotional distress, fear for their safety, or fear for destruction of property, were not subjective tests. They required a reasonable person standard, which is our objective test in the law. This amendment simply helps impress upon you that reality by moving the reasonable person standard down in the statute to each line so that you know for certain that a reasonable person must fear for their safety, a reasonable person must fear for the destruction of their property, or a reasonable person must suffer substantial emotional distress. In other words, the jury is going to find that it's not just what a person says, feels, or testifies to, but would a reasonable person under those circumstances also feel fear or substantial emotional distress? And that's really it. So I ask for your favorable consideration on the amendment.
Any further discussion on third reading amendment number 2, Representative Lindholm?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. In regards to the reasonable language and how that plays in, I mean, the subjective aspect is that it's already in place, right? I mean, that's what I heard. Well, that's what I heard from the sponsor, was that reasonable has to be considered anyway. So if that's the case, then why are we plugging this in? There must be another reason, right?
Okay, Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a great amendment, folks. It makes the bill palatable and more reasonable. Thank you.
Any other members for their first time? Representative Greer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I agree, too. This is a good amendment because words and structure matter. And this is, in following with the prior representations of the sponsors of these amendments, this makes this clear to anybody picking it up and reading it that reasonable standard is there. I'm in favor of the amendment, still reserving the vote on the bill.
Any other members for their first time? Seeing none. Second time, Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Speaker. I've had several pretty distinguished attorneys stand up and say this is good. Why? The original aspect by the sponsor of the amendment says reasonable is already, this is just putting it in for convenience because it's already reasonable. Well, if it's already reasonable, why do we need the amendment?
Anyone else for their second time? Moving to the sponsor, Representative Olson.
Mr. Speaker, it was reasonable before, and it's even more reasonable now if you're not more confused. Now, ladies and gentlemen, all this simply does is take from on page 2, line 10, the reasonable person standard, and move it down to lines 12, 16, and 19. Vote aye.
All those in favor of third reading amendment number 2, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Third reading amendment number 2 has been adopted. We are now on third reading amendment number 1, Representative Olson.
Mr. Speaker, I'll move amendment 1 to House Bill 8 and ask for your favorable consideration. Now, this is a substantive change here. Over the course as this bill progressed through the House, there was a lot of debate about the tests, fear for their safety and fear for the destruction of their property. And we want to make sure that we're not casting too wide of a net. And so I think that what this amendment does is hone it in just enough so that we can alleviate ourselves of that fear, but also leaving it open enough that we can allow judges the discretion they need to apply the test. So what does this do? This amendment qualifies fear so that fear must be substantial, that the judge or the jury, whatever that may be, must determine that there isn't just fear present, fear that a reasonable person would have, but that the fear is substantial. It actually brings it in, it conforms with what you already have in the bill for emotional distress. Emotional distress is heightened to a standard of substantial emotional distress, not just emotional distress. So here I think all we're trying to do is up that ante just a little more on fear, and again, the idea is to tighten it so that we don't cast such a wide net. So I'd ask for a favorable vote on the amendment.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. And if the bringer of the amendment could just explain how the courts treat the word substantial. So I know how I interpret substantial, but if he could speak to that just a little bit, I would appreciate it.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I'm a little concerned about adding this in, and for many of the same reasons that I brought up in the first issue here is, I fear that we may get to a position where if we can't determine that this particular victim suffered substantial fear, this prosecuting attorney just may decide not to prosecute this case. And that's exactly what we're trying not to do here. We're trying to get these provisions corrected. And by adding this term substantial, very, very similar to what was just spoken about, the delineation of substantial is going to be a much narrower and much harder leap to clear. It's going to be a much higher hurdle now for these people who have suffered the stalking. And I don't know that I can support this. I would urge you to vote no against this amendment.
Any other members first time? First time moving to second time. Any members for the second time? To the sponsor, Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to bring it in, what you have in front of you with the changes is something better than what we have in existing law. So it gives prosecutors more tools in their belt to get the bad guys, so to speak. But I don't think that it goes so far that prosecutors are just going to abandon cases. To answer the question of what it means by substantial, you know, that isn't a term that is so easily defined. But what it means is something more than just basically finding fear. It's going to require more than a testimony of an individual that said, hey, I felt afraid, because that person has to, we have to apply the reasonable person standard to it. But it's also going to have to be heightened a little more. On second reading, the good chairman of Minerals brought you several examples regarding text messages. And, you know, the reality is that some of those are probably not going to meet the bar. And we don't want them to. Because what you have to understand is that while we want to provide tools for the victims, we don't want to make it so loose and so wide that what we do is capture too many people with the law. That's always a risk. What you need to know is that stalking orders have tremendous implications in custody cases, tremendous implications in divorces, and can be placed on an individual for life, and they carry that above their head for their lives. So do we want to make sure that we protect victims? Absolutely. But we got to do it in a way that we don't capture too many people who are used in a system to game, whether that's in custody or divorce or whatever it may be. So I would vote aye on the amendment. Helps you tighten it, but doesn't make it so that your prosecutors lose all their tools.
Okay. Question on third reading amendment number one. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number one has been adopted. Okay, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk, please call the roll.
House Bill 8, Allen. Aye, Barlow. Aye, Biteman. Aye, Blackburn. Aye, Blake. Blake? Aye, Bovey. Aye, Brown. Aye, Burkhart. Aye, Byrd. Aye, Clausen. Aye, Clem. Aye, Connolly. Aye, Court. Aye, Crank. Aye, Dayton. Aye, Edwards. Aye, Eklund. Aye, Ayer. Aye, Flitner. Aye, Freeman. Aye, Furphy. Aye, Giroux. Aye, Gray. Aye, Greer. No? No. Haley. Aye. Hallinan. Aye. Halverson. Aye. Henderson. Aye. Hunt. Aye. Jennings. Aye. Kinner. Aye. Kirkbride. Aye. Larson Lloyd. No. Larson Dan. Aye. Lindholm. Aye. Lone. Aye. Laux. Aye. McGuire. Aye. Madden. Aye. Miller. No, Nicholas. No, Northrup. Aye, Obermuller. Aye, Olson. Aye, Paxton. Aye, Pelkey. Aye, Pipirinen. Aye, Ponell. Aye, Salazar. Aye, Schwartz. Aye, Simpson. Aye, Summers. Aye, Steinmetz. Aye, Stith. Aye, Sweeney. Aye, Walters. No, Wilson.
Aye. Winters. Aye. Zwanitzer. Aye. Mr. Speaker. Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Burkhart. Aye. To no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 54 aye, 6 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 8 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 101. There are no amendments.
House Bill 101, sponsored by Representative Lindholm. Electronic Corporate Records, an act relating to the Wyoming Business Corporations Act. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 101, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
House Bill 101, Allen. Allen. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn. Aye. Blake. Aye. Bovee. Aye. Brown. Aye. Burkhart. Aye. Bird. Aye. Clausen. Aye. Clem. Aye. Connolly. Connolly. Aye. Court. Aye. Crank. Aye. Dayton. Aye. Edwards. Aye. Eklund. Aye. Ayer. Aye. Flitner. Aye. Freeman. Aye. Furphy. Aye. Guru. Aye. Gray. Aye. Greer. Aye. Haley. Aye. Hallinan. Aye. Halverson. Aye. Henderson. Aye. Hunt. Aye. Jennings. Aye. Kenner. Aye. Kirkbride. Aye. Larson Lloyd. Aye. Larson Dan. Aye. Lindholm. Aye. Lone. Aye. Lauchs. Aye. McGuire. Aye. Madden. Aye. Miller. Aye. Nicholas. Aye. Northrup. Aye. Obermuller. Aye. Olson. Aye. Paxton. Aye. Pelkey. Aye. Pipirinen. Aye. Ponell. Aye. Salazar. Aye. Schwartz. Aye. Simpson. Aye. Summers. Aye. Steinmetz. Aye. Stiff. Aye. Sweeney. Aye. Walters. Aye. Wilson. Aye. Winters. Aye. Zwanitzer. Aye. Mr. Speaker. Aye. Allen. Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 60 aye.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elect to the House, House Bill 101 has passed the House. Members, we will go into general file for consideration of the budget and committee of the whole, and we'll do that. We've just got a couple quick announcements. You have one privilege of the floor, Representative Wilson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege.
Please proceed.
Members, I just want to remind you that we had a previous speaker announced that the Wyoming Coalition Against Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault folks were here. They are offering a lunch for us in room L51 at noon or whenever we get there. And also to let you know that the governor will be there at noon for a proclamation signing recognizing Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. So I hope you will join them.
Okay, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole to consider only the budget bill, House Bill 1.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed say no. Representative Chairman Kirkbride.
The committee of the whole will come to order. Thank you for that hearty greeting. We are continuing with the consideration of Budget Bill, House Bill number 1. Mr. Majority Whip, what is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I bring you Section 51 Livestock Board, page 25 on your summary sheet, and page 36 of your budget bill. So, Mr. Chairman, JAC reduced $14,344 general fund, $82 federal fund, and $25,223 special revenue for the retiree health insurance contribution, footnotes 1, kind of summary notes 1, 5, and 9 of the summary sheet. JC adopted the Gov's Rec to reduce 4929 general fund pursuant to Section 320 by reduction to utilities and travel in the administration division. JC adopted the Gov's Rec to add $52,322 general fund for motor vehicle charges and utilities to cover the department's lone investigator's extra travel after elimination of the other three investigators last session. JC adopted the Gov's Rec to reduce $21,000 general fund pursuant to 320 by reducing office supplies and professional fees in the animal health unit and telecommunication expenses in the law enforcement unit. JC adopted the Gov's Rec to add one AWAC position for the brucellosis testing unit and will only be funded with federal grant dollars. JC adopted the Gov's Rec to reduce $25,000 general fund pursuant to 320, Section 320, by reducing 200 and 900 series expenses in the brucellosis testing unit. And finally, Mr. Chairman, JC adopted the Gov's Rec to increase $500,000 general fund and decrease $500,000 special revenue in the brand inspection division. Last session, we moved a portion of the brand inspection program off general fund dollars to brand inspection fee dollars. This would have biennialized to a reduction of $1.5 million general fund, which would have resulted in a substantial brand inspection fee increase to livestock producers. As a result, JC concurs with the governor in returning some of that cut in general fund dollars. The Livestock Board consequently has approved a 10% fee increase and has been examining additional increases. Are there any questions?
Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. In regards to some of these cuts that were put in place, that was specifically along the lines of these investigators. And it wasn't because they were doing a bad job. It was because we actually weren't showing a bunch of investigations being done. So I would ask that JAC explain, has their investigations gone up by week, by how much? Because I think that's important. At the time when we made the cut, we had 4 full-time, 1 part-time investigator. So now that we've dialed that back to 1 full-time investigator, have we gone to the point where we've quadrupled that individual's workload? Has cattle rustling exploded that much in the state of Wyoming? Because if it hasn't, then I think we need to dial that back.
Mr. Majority Whip.
So, Mr. Chairman, I don't have the case analysis I can find out, but understand the two things we did last year. One is we eliminated 3 positions, which were general fund dollars in the investigation unit. The other thing we did, which is what I just talked about, is that we shifted money from general fund to brand inspection dollars for the brand inspection program. So we're bringing dollars back into the brand inspection program, not into the investigative unit, other than that little bit of travel money. I believe I mentioned $52,322 general fund for motor vehicle charges. And it's simply he's covering more of the state. I don't know whether his caseload's increased or decreased. I can find that out. But certainly his travel time has increased.
Further questions? Unless there are further questions, that concludes the explanation of Section 51. We'll move to Section 52, Medical Licensing Board. Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Medical Licensing Board number 52 is one of, I believe, 14 independent boards. All of their, what? I'm being waved at.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, we generally wait and take all of the boards and commissions as a group. We don't break them down individually, so that would come at the end.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Go to, Mr. Chairman, the next section 53. Will be 53.
Okay. Sorry for the false alarm, Representative Schwartz. Move to Section 53, the Department of Workforce Services. Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Workforce Services, page 37 in the budget books and page 26 in the summary sheets. JC adopted the governor's recommendation of $335,000 for computer equipment and software one-time funding. Now, I'll call your attention to something very, very quick. If you look at where the funding sources are for this, most of this is special revenue or enterprise funds. Most of this is coming out of the workers' comp accounts and other accounts. The majority is not general fund. So I can go through those if you wish, but I think you can read them fine on yourself, and I'll just do the total amounts that are in there. So JC adopted governor's recommendation of $193,000 for software development of the state mine inspector's application and exam system, and added a footnote restricting the appropriated funds to the specific purpose. And again, you're going to see that on almost all the footnotes, that they are restricted to the specific purpose, mainly because they come from special revenue from the workers' compensation fund. So we don't want them used for anything else other than those things that benefit worker safety in the state. So, JC, I'm on number four. Note four, JC adopted governor's rec to reduce $850,000 and move five full-time positions within the agency to align funding. Number five, JC adopted governor's rec of $250,000 federal funds and one full-time position for a Head Start collaboration facilitator and support cost. Six, JC adopted governor's rec to move $4 million in operating costs to Division 600 Disability Determination Services. Now, this is their Division 600. This is not Series 600. This is what they've numbered that division in their budget. So this is not grants and aids. It is a number of a subdivision in their budget. Seven, JC adopted governor's rec of $750,000 federal funding for one-time software case management migration and added footnote two to restrict the funds to a specific purpose. Eight, JC adopted governor's recommendation of $71,000 special revenue for software maintenance and added footnote three to restrict it to specific purposes. Nine, JC adopted governor's recommendation of $628,000 for employment support case services. And if you notice in that one, in number nine, you'll see that it's $500,000 in special revenue and $128,000 in federal funds. There's no general fund money in most of these, and that's just an example. Number 10, JC adopted governor's rec of $81,000 for computer equipment and software one time. Number 11, JC adopted governor's rec to reduce $2.7 million and move 16 full-time positions within the agency to align funding. Number 12, JC reduced, that's retiree health insurance, sorry. Number 14, JC adopted governor's recommendation to move $500,000 special revenue from Division 300 to Division 200 in order to maximize federal matching funds in Division 200. So we find this every once in a while, that if we do some money movement, we get a lot more federal money for our investment. So if they're going to give it to us, we're going to take it. Number 15, JC adopted governor's recommendation of $261,000 federal funding to align agency funding. 17, JC adopted governor's rec to decrease $234,000 general fund and increase $234,000 enterprise funds pursuant to the Section 300s or 320s. 18, JC adopted governor's recommendation of $1.3 million enterprise funds for computer software and added footnote, making the funding one time. Number 19, JC adopted governor's rec of $190,000 special revenue for software development over the workers' comp document management system and added a footnote to limit it to the specific purpose. Number 21, JC adopted governor's recommendation of $253,000 enterprise funds to reimburse the Attorney General's office for the salaries for two positions. These are workers' compensation attorneys. Okay, now, the next one's moved to page 27 in your summary sheet. 22, JC adopted governor's recommendation of $159,000 enterprise funds for software made at one time. 23, JC adopted governor's recommendation to increase $416,000, two full-time positions and one AWAC position to align agency positions and funding. JC adopted governor's recommendation of $153,000 enterprise funds and one position previously added via the B-11 process. 25, JC adopted governor's recommendation of $161,000 enterprise funds for software maintenance, again, footnote making it specific purpose. 28, JC adopted governor's rec to add $6.9 million, and most of that is federal funds and 18 full-time positions to create the new Division 600 Disability Determination Services. And finally, JC, that's back to the retiree health insurance contribution. And I'll stand for questions.
Are there any questions? Unless there are questions, we'll conclude the explanation of that section and move to the next section.
Okay.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next section is number 55, Oil and Gas Commission. The Oil and Gas Commission is funded not from the general fund, but from fees and taxes collected from operators and people applying for permits. In terms of footnotes, there is one footnote based on a one-time request for a database management system in the amount of $378,000. Can only be used for that purpose. The only other real note of interest, number three, $160,000 for vehicles because they have 11 field techs who just drive around the state all the time. If there are any questions, I would be happy to answer.
Any questions? I see one. Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So my question would be, did you get any update or any impression about where the commission is on their orphan well work that's being done up in the northeast part of the state? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, esteemed Chairman. I cannot answer that question.
Representative Larson Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We did have a fair amount of discussion on where we asked the commissioner where they were at on the orphan well for the coal bed methane gas. He said this year that they were really focusing on the orphan wells of the conventional wells that were deeper. I think that I want to have in my mind that there were six that they were focusing on. Thought they had that about done, but I can't remember the total amount, but I have it my but they were ahead of the projected schedule.
Mr. Majority, no. Any further questions? Mr. Majority Whip?
Mr. Chairman, I bring you Section 57, Community College Commission, page 28 on your summary sheet, and page 40 of your bill. Mr. Chairman, JC adopted the Gov's rec of increasing $148,964 General Fund for software maintenance. The commission is statutorily required to provide the administrative computing system, ACS, used by all seven colleges, and this covers that software maintenance. JC adopted the Gov's rec of $103,684 General Fund for ETS charges. This request reflects the outcome of the commission's meeting with ETS and the budget division regarding necessary changes in 400 series services provided by ETS. JC adopted the Gov's rec of $31,983 General Fund for computer equipment and software one time. The governor recommended approval of 31833 in one time and denied 56 in general fund for hardware software, so he did a portion of that. JC reduced 671,604 general fund, 524 federal fund, and 891 S5 for the retiree health insurance contribution. JC adopted the Gov's rec of an $835,000 general fund to the WIN student nursing program through the sunset date of 6/30/2020. The Wyoming Investment in Nursing Program was adopted by the 2003 legislature. The intention of WIN is to address the shortage of nurses in Wyoming. Absent new legislation, the student funding side of this program is scheduled to sunset June 30, 2020. If the intent is to fund the student side of the program sufficiently through the sunset date, an additional $835,000 will be needed. And finally, Mr. Chairman, JC added footnote 1, page 40 of the budget bill, specify no funds will be paid to higher education institutions for new enrollees in the Veterans Tuition Waiver Program, and add language to render the footnote ineffective in the event Senate File 36 passes. During the 2006 legislative session, Wyoming Statute 1914-106 was expanded to allow for 10 semesters of free tuition and fees for overseas combat veterans, surviving spouses, and orphans. The Community Colleges Commission was assigned responsibility for the program, including reimbursements to UW and the seven community colleges. During the 2007 legislative session, the statute was amended to include reimbursement for Vietnam veterans. The program costs have escalated from 2007-08 of $200,000 to 2017-18 of $1,231,250, according to my notes. I would stand for questions.
Unless there are questions, we'll close Section 57 and move on. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Section 60 is the Office of State Lands and Investments, which is page 29 on your summary sheet and page 56 in your bill. Mr. Chairman, the state manages right now about 3.5 million surface acres, all the state lands, forests, the royalty payments, leases on behalf of the trust beneficiaries, which are primarily the schools, state institution, and the general public. Again, in this agency, a lot of computer updates, the usual four-year rotation. You can see that in note 2. And a lot of this is flowing from our request back in 2005 to have them automate the business processes and become more user-friendly. So you can see in note 3, the governor recommended $359,270 from the general fund for a cloud-based system for permitting, leasing, easements, and payments. So we did approve that request. And further, you can see in note 4, there was a request for $200,000 for a surface land asset management system, which fully interfaces with the leasing and royalty compliance system. We approved that as well. Note 5 and note 7 are exception requests, but for the use of federal funds for the annual required audit of the Clean Water State Revolving Fund, which is for pollution control, and the Drinking Water Revolving Fund. Those, of course, were approved. Note 6 shows the request to replenish the existing State Trust Land Preservation and Enhancement Account, which enables the Board of Land Commissioners to pursue projects that preserve or enhance the value of state trust land. So these are projects for range and timber stand improvement, dump cleanups, road maintenance, road reclamation, where people have done a bad thing and driven across where they're not supposed to have a road, access service. So those were approved as well from General Fund and School Foundation. And then note 8, which is footnote 1 in the budget bill, shows a $1 million appropriation from fire suppression for pine bark beetle mitigation at the end of the fire season if funds have not been used to fight fires. We've had this footnote in previous years and put it in again. Mr. Chairman, if there are no questions, that is the end of the explanation of the Office of State Lands and Investments.
Thank you. We'll close Section 30. Or Section 60, State Lands and Investments, and move on. Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good folks of the House, I would bring you Section 63063, which is the governor's residence. If you go to your summary sheet, which is at page 30, it's on page 42 of your budget. It's a really simple budget. We adopted the Gov's Rex to increase the spending authority with special revenues. The next one is the insurance contribution. Next, there is a 320 reduction of $223,000. The next, oh, I'm sorry, I jumped across. I've got to go back up. Number one, I was doing tourism. I'm in too big of a hurry. So number one, is the Section 320 reduction of $4,730, and then we reduced the insurance contribution. If you may recall, the governor's office has two full-time employees. They make roughly about $50,000 a year plus benefits, and then the other components of that are just operations, utilities, maintenance, special events, those type of things for the governor's office.
Any questions? Seeing no questions, we'll consider Section 63 complete. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole begs leave to rise and sit again at 2 p.m.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Are there any committee announcements? Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Chairman Kirkbride. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet in about 3 minutes in H-37 to hear the following three bills: House Bill 14, Municipal Jurisdiction; House Bill 13, Repeal of Municipal Jurisdiction; and House Bill 69, Impersonation Through Electronic Means.
Chairman Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee number 5, Agriculture, is invited to a forest health update briefing in room L-54 upon adjournment. And again, this is with the Forest Service and the State Forestry Division. Thank you.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your House Appropriations Committee will meet after the Rules Committee. After adjournment at lunch, have re-referrals. House Bill 117, 122, 153, 58, and 59. And on adjournment, we have House Bill, the continuation of House Bill 185. House Bill 185.
Okay. Vice Chairman Winters, I'll call on you in a minute, but first, Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 6, Travel, will meet tomorrow, Wednesday, the 21st of February, at 8 o'clock in the morning in our usual room to consider House Bill 5, House Joint Resolution number 5, Yellowstone Wildlife Conservation Fee, and House Joint Resolution 8, 150th anniversary of the 1868 Fort Bridger Treaty. And unless something changes, we will not have a meeting on Friday.
Vice Chairman Winters.
Mr. Chairman, we're going to convene down at the big room? L-54, and we're going to consider two bills, the Judiciary Committee, the Stand Your Ground, and Concealed Weapons in Places of Worship.
Chairman Nicholas?
I'm sorry. The re-referrals that I just read to you will be in House Bill Room 36 and not the regular joint appropriations.
Chairman Greer?
Yeah, thank you. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, Economic Development, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., Jonah Room H-37, to consider House Bill 129, Glider Kit Vehicles Title and Registration, and then House Bill 181, Wage Garnishment Amendments.
Mr. Speaker?
Mr. Chairman, your committee number 12, Rules, will meet on the sound of the gavel in Senate immediately upon recess in Senate Room 27, Senate 27, to hear House Bill 192, Legislator Communications, Recordings, and Broadcasts.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a reminder to all the chairmen and vice chairs that will likely be coming in at 9 a.m. tomorrow and be prepared for Thursday and Friday also. We'll adjust according to how we get through bills over the next couple of days.
You have heard the majority of floor leaders' motion that we recess until 2 p.m. All in favor say aye. Opposed say no. Motion's carried. House stands in recess.